not burn your finger. No, no, you wouldn't burn the finger. I did not burn. You burned the finger. Yes, I burned the finger. Why did you burn? I did not burn you. You came and touched me, so I burnt your finger. And to burn, I did not do anything. Your touching itself is enough for you to get burnt. Understand? Which means, it is not the reaction of the fire. If you slap me, I slap you back, it is reaction, isn't it? If you come and touch me, if I touch you, it is reaction. But a fire does not touch you. Doesn't do anything. Fire remains, fire is not reactive. Fire just simply, you go and touch, fire burns means that burning is not the action. It's not a will-involved action, isn't it? It is nature. Therefore, you should be careful. Nature. So dharma also. If you don't rub against dharma, you can be happy. If you rub against dharma, you will be rubbed by dharma. Rubbing is not an action. It's very nature. Understand? Therefore, right and wrong. That is why in our culture we only teach this. There's nowhere in Veda Shastram we have do's and don'ts. We only say this is dharma, this is adharma. This is right and wrong. That we don't say, no, because I am saying you have to listen is wrong. No. How, what is wrong? Please understand. What do you expect from others? You know? No, I want others to speak the truth to me. I don't want others to hurt me. When you say, whatever you expect from others, no? Based on that, you know what is right and what is wrong. Nothing, you are not imposed, you are only shown, you know, how to understand things. Nothing is, there is nobody dictate anything here. So, from verse number 25 until this 33rd verse, Krishna discussed this, the different disciplines as yajñas. As I told you, having purushartha nischayaha, being very clear about the moksha being your ultimate choiceless end, and that attainment of moksha is only in terms of attainment of knowledge. Therefore, knowledge and moksha, knowing that knowledge and moksha being identical, commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, and thereby knowing the value of knowledge, and knowing the importance, necessity of the preparedness required for knowledge, in terms of mental purity and mental steadiness, and living the whole life to doing anything and everything, whatever you do, whatever you practice, doing it, practicing it, to prepare your mind for jnanam, then whatever you do becomes worship and offering yajna. You don't need to do something separately to make it a yajna. It is only attitude which converts your actions and disciplines into yajna. Which means you are very clear, what am I doing this for? Even if you are working to earn a livelihood, you are very clear, I am living this life, I am doing this work to earn my livelihood, but still I want livelihood to live my life. I live my life for jnanam and moksha, to prepare my mind for jnanam, thereby to attain jnanam, thereby to attain moksha. That is clear. You are earning money, you are working, you do anything you do for earning your livelihood, everything becomes yajna. You are eating, drinking, everything becomes yajna. Is it clear? That is why every action becomes yajna. Yajna means you do not do anything specially for that. Generally, I told you again and again, I am repeating it. Yajna is a performance of a fire ritual, which is a form of worship, which is an act of, symbolic act of offering. But not only yajna is worship, not only the fire ritual is a yajna, the act of offering, which is a worship. Any action you do becomes worship. So converting the whole life into a life of worship is what? Converting the whole life into a life of yajna. The whole jivanam becomes yajna. Life of worship. Only when Bhagavan becomes the end. Understand? I told you also previously, living a life in conformity with dharma, as yoga. Living a life of karma yoga itself means what? If you live a life of karma yoga itself, your will becomes offered, surrendered to dharma, means your will becomes surrendered to Bhagavan, which itself is what? Bringing Vishwa into your life. You get closer to Bhagavan. In jnanam, you become one with Bhagavan. Isn't it? You recognize yourself being Bhagavan in jnanam. Therefore, you are Bhagavan in jnanam. When you follow dharma, you are close to Bhagavan. Therefore, Bhagavan is there already. Only then the life becomes yajna. Okay? Don't think offering and doing something and all that. Okay. So here, when he divided all these yajnas into two, as jnana yajnaha and karma yajnaha. So all other yajnas are karma yajnaha or dravya yajnaha. And they're all only time-bound actions. Therefore, maximum they can do is, what is the benefit you can reap? Others you can get by following these disciplines as yajna is only the mental purity and mental steadiness, which is the qualification required for jnanam, but definitely not jnanam. Which means it will not bless you with the jnanam. So this practice of disciplines will not bless you with jnanam or mokshaha. That is why the practice of disciplines will be incomplete without pursuing knowledge and attaining knowledge. And jnanam and pursuit of knowledge, attainment of knowledge will be impossible if you are not prepared for jnanam, and for which you have to practice disciplines. Is it clear? This I've been telling all the time. Jnanam will be impossible without yoga, and yoga will be incomplete without jnanam. Okay. So here, if knowledge is the most exalted of the yajnas, most exalted of the offerings, with which an act of offering comes to an end. So here, how to attain that jnanam? Or he says, one cannot attain the knowledge of the reality or even self-knowledge also independently without the appropriate help. This also we discussed many times. To see the whole world, eyes do not require anything else. But when the eyes have to see themselves, eyes cannot see themselves. Eyes need our eyes, not ice cream, okay? That's why we ate ice cream, that's why. Our eyes, two eyes, need the mirror. For the eyes to look into themselves, look into the face, eyes need a mirror. Eyes have to look into the mirror in order to look into themselves. Similarly here, self-knowledge, the knowledge of the reality of the whole, happens to be available for the very self-knowledge, knowledge of the very self itself. One needs the support of Shastram. And the Shastram also, one cannot just read and understand by oneself. The Shastra's words need to be unfolded. There's a method of unfoldment. So the person who has understood the Shastram, who knows the method of unfoldment, has to unfold. Therefore, it has to be handled by a competent teacher also. Isn't it? Therefore, here, how to attain the Jnanam? With the help of Shastram, which is the Pramanam, the means of knowledge. And which has to, the means of knowledge has to be operated, not independently, with the help of the teacher. That is said in the following. Now, Jnanaya Kim Karaniyam. What should I do for Jnanam? How to attain the Jnanam? How is the knowledge attainable? That is said in the following verse. Tadvidhi pranipatena. Pariprashnena sevaya.
Pariprashnena sevaya.
Upadekshanti te Jnanam.
Upadekshanti te Jnanam.
Jnaninastattvadarshinah.
Jnaninastattvadarshinah.
Tadvidhi pranipatena.
Tadvidhi pranipatena.
Pariprashnena sevaya.
Pariprashnena sevaya.
Upadekshanti te Jnanam.
Upadekshanti te Jnanam.
Jnaninastattvadarshinah.
Jnaninastattvadarshinah.
He says, now Krishna says, Tadviddhi, may you attain that knowledge. May you know that truth. May you know your swarupam. You know the truth as your swarupam. How? Pranipatena. Pranipataha means namaskaraha. By falling flat. Pranipataha. Dirgha namaskarena. Which means by bowing to the feet of the teacher. Then pariprashnena. By bowing to the feet of the teacher means by serving the teacher. Pariprashnena. By asking appropriate questions. And sevaya, by serving, by doing the needful service to the teacher. The Gurukulam, isn't it? Sevaya, through one service to the teacher. Service means not that you become a permanent slave for the teacher. Okay? Doing certain important things. In fact, going to the teacher itself is for you to learn. Immediately the question should not come. If I be serving the teacher, how can I learn? As the teacher, this question will come immediately, the Buddha will think all those questions. That's why it's not that all the time you will be serving the teacher. Doing little, whatever is possible on your part, whatever is required and whatever is possible within your limits. Now, in the Gurukulam, where the teacher is, in those days. So, sevaya, through your service to the teacher. And there's many ways of serving, isn't it, to the teaching. Then, pariprashnena, by asking questions also. And pranipatena, by, you know, falling at the feet of the teacher. One has to attain this knowledge. It's a literal meaning. So, pariprashnaha, the question should be there. Now, really, what is this life for? What is bondage? What is moksha? What is knowledge? What is ignorance? We talk about all these things now. So, there is what is moksha and what is bondage? What is knowledge? What is ignorance? Then, like this, we ask these questions. And what is mental preparation, how to prepare one's life, etc. All these questions. Once you are exposed to the teaching, without being exposed to the teaching at all, how can any question will come in your mind? In total ignorance, no question can arise. when you are asleep, will you have any questions in sleep? In sleep, will you have any questions? In dream, you may have dream questions to the dream teacher, a dream friend. Okay. But in sleep, will you have questions? If anybody says in dream or in sleep also, I ask questions, which means you are not sleeping. Which means in total ignorance, you cannot ask any questions. Similarly, even if in waking state also, if you do not know anything at all, how can you ask questions? If you do not know this is ice cream, then if you keep in front of yourself, maximum you can ask is what is that? If you know it is ice cream, then you can ask what is the color of it, how did you make it, what all did you put? All these questions are possible only if you know it is ice cream, isn't it? If you do not even know what it is, how can you ask any questions about it? Isn't it? Therefore, for you to ask any question about anything, you must have some knowledge of it. For exposure to the study of the teaching will, what now, really, now you know that you need the jnanam, you approach the teacher. But what is actually this jnanam? So, really ask these questions. And when you expose the teaching, your questions will come, doubts will come. Then as you ask the questions, and then as you listen also, the more you listen, the more your doubts will be resolving. You don't ask, no, listen here and there, whenever you want to hear. No. Study must be very, very systematic. Very regular also. Suppose if you join the degree class somewhere here, you go and join in Imperial College to do your MSc Physics. Then one day go, don't go next day. And go to next day King's College. Go into Physics Department and meet the professor and listen to something whatever he is teaching. And go to somebody, some other place. This is something else. It won't work, isn't it? You have to go. Why there's discipline? You can't go and tell the next day the professor, no, I went to other college, other professor, I heard there. So yesterday I missed here, the next day I heard there. So I heard it still. It won't work. Where your professor left, there you have to listen, continue. Again you have to continue and listen. What I'm saying here, the idea is, you have to study systematically. Systematic study is very, very important. People do not understand what is a spiritual pursuit. Study of the scriptures means people do not know. Because so people are so innocent and naive, they think simply being religious itself, they think a big spiritual accomplishment. Oh, they don't even come to the temple. I go to the temple very regularly. You complain also. And they don't come to the bhajans, they don't go to all this. I'm very good, you know, I go to bhajans, I go to temple. You are following discipline, very good, fine, fantastic, fine. But even that is not the end. We should know, am I doing what I'm doing correctly? Going to temple is very good, even studying any Trivachamakastra is very good, any discipline is good, it's all discipline. It's all very important. I tell you, nothing needs to be belittled. Everything is very important. Singing, bhajans, going to bed, everything is fine. But we should know, systematic study means how you study your physics, chemistry or mathematics. The same way it has to be studied. Only thing is, you are not student now. You are not brahmachari ashrama. You are all in grihastha ashrama. Some of them have finished grihastha ashrama also. Which means well and good. You have to find some time for this. How you find time for everything else? You have to allot some time, and then that time definitely one has to study systematically. What should be studied first? What should be understood later on? The connections all be understood properly. The systematic study means step by step, means there should not be any missing links in between. That is how the vagueness comes. People are vague about many things because they miss the links, in between links. And no student is really dull or weak in any subject matter. People always come and tell. You know, some people are weak in mathematics, weak in physics, weak in... What is weakness? Weakness is nothing but they have missed some links. That is what, no? Because they missed, which means the weakness, that's now somehow they have to fill the gap now. That's the problem. Really speaking, all the human intellects are equally brilliant, really intelligent. They missed the links. So here what we need is systematically one has to study, and one has to study regularly also. Regularly, systematically, continuously, you know, with all commitment, Shraddha, and with the help of the competent teacher has to study Shravana. And definitely there must be trust in the teacher, faith in the words of the teaching. If you don't have faith in the Shastram, because yeah, everybody tells study Shastram as a means of knowledge, we go and sit, no. No, you must be convinced also about it. Isn't it? The sense, a Shastram is a Pramanam. So let me study. I have faith in Shastra. Let me study. Let me see whether it really is going to work for me or not. If everybody has said it will work, let me... No, I have to surrender myself to Shastra. The commitment must be there. Though here... So one should study the Shastra with the help of the teacher. And as you study the Shastra alone, you will know what questions to ask also. And as you ask, by asking these questions, clearing your doubts, you know, studying there, living a disciplined life, then what the teachers will do? Te jnanam upadekshanti. Jnaninaha tattvadarshinaha jnanam te upadekshanti. The wise people who have the vision of the truth. Tattvadarshinaha means people of vision. Who have the vision of the truth are said to be tattvadarshinaha. Meikandar. Tamil Salamalya? Meikandar. So those who have the vision of the truth, tattvadarshinaha, and they are wise people, jnaninaha, te upadekshanti jnanam, they will teach you, they will bless you with the knowledge, not overnight. When you go to the teacher, no teacher can give you overnight jnanam or instantaneous flash of knowledge. No teacher can give you. It will take time. Okay? There must be communication. The teacher has to communicate and you have to sit and listen. Is it clear? Therefore, you will attain the jnanam. So mainly this 34th verse, what it tells is, the 33rd verse, you understand the knowledge being the only means for moksha. And the disciplines can only prepare the mind for jnanam. And for that knowledge also, one cannot have knowledge, one cannot make any effort independently to attain the jnanam. Any seeker of the truth, any jignasu bhaktaha, should pursue the knowledge only with the help of the Shastram and teacher. Give the support of the teacher and the Shastram. So the importance of Shastram and the teacher also immediately is revealed in the next verse. Okay. Then, 35th verse onwards, now Krishna again presents the glorification of knowledge. He glorifies knowledge. Yajñātvāna punarmoham evam yāsyasi pāṇḍava
dasyasi pandava
yena bhutanya seshena drakshasyatmanyathomayi yat jnatva yat jnatva having known which having the, attained the knowledge of which having known the truth having attained the knowledge of the truth as one's own self having recognized the truth of the whole as one's own swarupam Arjuna, he says, Punaha moham nayasyasi. You will not attain any delusion at all again. Once you have attained jnanam, you have attained moksha. You are free. Having attained the jnanam, having discovered the freedom which is already there, having taken ownership of the freedom, the fullness, the happiness which is already there as your swarupam, you will never again get deluded at all. There will not be delusion again. Moham nayasyasi. Because always the question comes, if I attain moksha, will I lose it again? Again do I have to, because sometimes we attain things. And we lose. Again we have to work hard to attain, isn't it? So he Arjuna's question. Arjuna didn't ask. Maybe Krishna assumed that question from Arjuna. If I work hard, prepare my mind, and through Shravanam, Mananam, and Pranipatena, Pariprashnena, Sevaya, by serving the teacher, living in the Gurukulam, you know, then serving the teacher, and asking questions and doing shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, if I attain jnanam, attain moksha, will I forget again? Is there any possibility of forgetting it again, becoming deluded? No. How it will not be? See, the fact understood once, a fact ascertained once, assimilated once, will never be forgotten, will never become again, you will not, then there won't be any delusion. Once you have already recognized the water as the truth of the ocean, once your very clear ocean is only a namarupa, you have no doubt at all. Before you were not seeing water. Even though you were already experiencing water in the form of the ocean, but you did not know what you were experiencing as the in the form of ocean was nothing but water. You did not know. So you saw only what you experienced, your experience only was of the ocean. You did not see the water. You experienced water. When you experienced the ocean, what were you experiencing? When you were experiencing ocean, you were experiencing water only. But you did not know what you were experiencing was only water. So you need what? You need, you know. So then, what does the Shastram do? Shastram only introduces that water, what you are already experiencing as ocean is ocean being water. The Shastram holds your attention, takes your attention from way ocean name and form to the water. Shastram only helps you shift your attention from ocean name and form to water. Got it? the study, isn't it? The teaching, what does the teaching do? Teaching helps you turn your attention from the name and form ocean to water. Then it is not, doesn't create anything. It's already there, isn't it? Similarly here also, Shastra teaching will help you recognize the truth which is experienced already in the form of the universe as the very truth of yourself. When this is a fact, once you recognize the water as the truth of the ocean, can you lose sight of the water again? Every time you are experiencing the ocean, you will know very well you are experiencing the ocean. You are experiencing is nothing but the appearance of the water, because you cannot lose sight of the water in the form of ocean. Similarly here also, the teaching in due course of time will bless you with the vision of the truth as yourself, and then once the vision, you will not lose sight of the true vision of the, lose sight of the truth whatever you experience. Even the truth is not an object of experience, you will not lose sight of the truth in everything that you experience. Is it clear? Therefore, there will not be any delusion again. Punaha, Krishna says, punaha moham na yasyasi. Yena, because of which, because of that, unforgettable, ever remembered, no ascertained, doubt-free vision of the sight, vision of the truth, and by that vision alone, aseshena bhutani drakshasi, you will see all the beings. Aseshena means what now? Without leaving any, even one thing outside. Totally all the beings. Aseshena means sarvani bhutani. You will see all the beings entirely, in entirety. Drakshasi, you will see. Where will you see all the bhutani? Aseshena bhutani, you will see. You will see all the beings, Arjuna. Where? Atmani drakshasi, you will see all the beings, the entire universe in yourself. Yatha mayi, as you see the whole universe in me, you will see the whole universe in yourself. Beautiful, isn't it? Krishna says, when will you see the whole universe, all the beings in me? No, just as you see the whole universe in me, so you will see the whole universe, all the beings in yourself, Arjuna. By what? By that vision of the truth of Ishvara as one's own truth, isn't it? When you have the vision of the truth of the whole as the truth of yourself, you will see the whole universe, all the beings in their entirety in me, in yourself, as you see in me. If you have the vision of the truth, then in the light of the vision of the truth, you can see all the beings in the truth. No, you cannot see any being outside of the truth. If you have the vision of the water, the H2O, then you will see all the waves in the very water. You will see the entire ocean, all the waves in the water. Here the doubt comes. Swamini, is water in the ocean or ocean is in the water? Have you got the doubt now? Ulta. Where is the water? Is water in the ocean or ocean is in the water? I tell you, what is the locus of what? What is the adhara for what? A ocean is a nama rupa, which the name and the form have their existence. Not even have, okay? The name ocean is the form which has no independent existence outside of water. Water is the truth, adhara, for the name and form ocean. Understand? Water is the adhara for the name and form each and every wave. Adhara, substratum, isn't it? There's no underlying reality. The ocean or all the waves have no being, no existence of their own. They do not enjoy existence of their own, independent existence of their own outside of water. Whereas water can be without being the ocean or the waves. Is it clear? So which has existence in what? What is the locus? So water is the adhara for the nama rupa ocean and all the waves. You see, once you have the vision of the truth of the ocean, you see the entire ocean and all the waves in the water. There's no wave, no waves or ocean outside of water, far from water, distant from water, independent of water. In fact, if you see very clearly, you see only water. There's no ocean or waves, really speaking. It's only appearance. Is it clear? The wave which has seen its own swarupam being water, and that wave can, the guru wave can tell the sishya wave, where are these waves? All these waves are in water. And you can say, but no, as you see all the waves in me, the water, so you will see all the waves in you, because you and me are one and the same water. Is it clear? The same way, Bhagavan says, once you know the truth of the whole cosmos, the matter, the material product, the universe, the material universe, does not exist outside of consciousness, the truth of Ishvara, the truth of the whole. And consciousness happens to be one indivisible truth of the individual also. The same, no, the one who has the vision of the truth, the consciousness as one's own self, can see the whole universe, all the beings having their existence in one's own self, the consciousness. As one sees the whole universe in Bhagavan, you can see all that is here is Ishvara, or you can say all that is here is myself. Is it clear? Which means you are non-separate from Ishvara. The standpoint of the truth. Is what? Vision of the non-dual reality. Krishna, the oneness of the reality. Therefore, Krishna says, once you have this vision of the truth as yourself, Arjuna, These wise people will teach you, give you this vision of the truth. And having gained which vision, having known that truth as yourself, then you, once you know the truth, your essence is shifted from body, mind and complex and resolved in consciousness. Once you see yourself as consciousness and you will see the whole Jagat, all the beings in their entirety, you will see in yourself. Which you will see the whole, all the beings. Don't think here, okay? Don't think in your body. Where is it? What is that you in whom you will see the whole Jagat? All the beings in consciousness. Seeing every whole Jagat in me means, you, how is it possible for me to see the whole Jagat in me? Which you, once you know, you have the vision of the truth being consciousness, truth, the consciousness as your Swarupam, and if you see yourself as consciousness, and in the consciousness you will see all the beings having their existence. Okay? You will see the whole world in yourself. As you see in me. Seeing everything as Bhagavan is what? Vishwarupa Darshanam. And seeing everything as one's own self is what? Arupa. Isn't it? See? You see yourself being consciousness. Seeing the truth as yourself, as pure consciousness, is what? Arupa Darshanam. Vision of the truth, which is of the nature of formlessness. Anyway, how you see everything is Ishvara, you can see everything is, you will see everything in yourself, Arjuna. Okay. What is the greatness of this vision of the truth, thereby seeing everything in truth? Which means you will not see a second parallel reality. All that is, there is truth, truth, truth. Like every wave is water, this wave is water, this wave is water, other wave is water, the entire ocean is water. Like that, all the living beings, non-living things, well beings, everything here, the entire objective universe, all the beings, you will see all the beings in your Swarupam, the consciousness. You will see yourself. As you see everything in me. If you see, if you have that vision, what is the benefit of having that vision? He's going to say that now. So, the benefit, means of knowledge, attainment of what you said in the 34th verse, the benefit of what you said in the 35th verse, now the benefit of teaching is said in the 35th verse. Now, benefit of knowledge is said in the 36th verse. Is it clear? Api chedasi papebhya.
Api chedasi papebhya.
Are you okay? Are you fresh? Api chedasi papebhya.
Api chedasi papebhya.
Sarvebhyah papakrittamaha.
Sarvebhyah papakrittamaha.
Sarvam jnana plave naiva.
Sarvam jnana plave naiva.
Sarvam jnana plave naiva.
Sarvam jnana plave naiva.
Vrijinam santarishyasi. What a beautiful thing he says. If you have that vision of the truth as yourself, and if you can see all the beings in your real self, the consciousness, the Atma, As you see the everything in me, as you know your Swarupam, na, and Avatara Swarupam being one and the same, if you have that vision, Arjuna, if you have the vision of the oneness of truth, if you have the vision of the non-duality, non-dual reality, then sarvam vrijinam santarishyasi, you will overcome, you will cross all your sins, vrijinam, all your punya papas. Punyam is papam, papam also is papam. No way. Anything which will bring you rebirth is vrijinam only, isn't it? You will cross, overcome, santarishyasi, you will cross the entire ocean of papam, all the sins you will overcome. You will become free from all the sins for good. Santarishyasi, you will cross, you will overcome all the punya papas for good. For doubt, no, you know what all papam I had done. You won't say that in Jnanam. Krishna says here, Sarvebhyaha papebhyaha papakrit tamaha. Papakrit means the wrongdoer, sinner. Papakrit taraha means worse sinner. Papakrit tamaha means the worst sinner. Tamaha has superlative degree, isn't it? Even if you are the worst of the sinners, Sarvebhyaha papebhyaha, no, he says, papakrit tamaha, even with the worst of the sinners, you are the worst sinner also, Arjuna, I tell you one thing, you are not the worst sinner, even if you are the worst sinner, okay, the most sinful, of all the sinners also, even then, all your sins will get washed off. You will cross perfectly, for good, all the sins. You will cross the ocean of all the sins for good, with the raft of knowledge. Jnanaplavena eva sarvam vrijinam santarishyasi. So what all sins I have committed, what all papam I have done, whatever guilt you have about your commissions and omissions, what all I have done, my God, I should not have done, what all, you know, I should not have done, I have done, isn't it? Commissions. Omissions also. Commissions and omissions on one's own part. All the guilt you have, the guilt will resolve for good. The guilt is pain, isn't it? That pain will resolve for good. The guilt will resolve for good. And also hurt. The pain caused by others' behavior also. Others should not have commissions and omissions on others' part, which caused hurt in you. Even that hurt also will resolve. So all your punya papam, sanchita, agami, prarabdha, all your karmas will resolve for good. There will not be any punyam, any papam. Will they be there or not? You will be free. They will be there or not, don't worry. You will be free from all of them. You will cross, overcome all of them. You must be there now for you to have punya papa. You would have resolved in jnanam, you have resolved yourself in consciousness. You are not there. Is it clear now? Where are you for you to have punya papa? If you are there, then you can say, I have punyam papam. You yourself will not be there. You will not be there means what? The notion that I am, isn't it? Your ahankara would have been already resolved. When the wave is resolved in water, as wave is water, where is the wave? It's only water, isn't it? There is no independent wave without the water. There is only water. Similarly, aham brahma asmi in the jnanam, where are you? There is only Brahman in your form. Therefore, where is the punyam and where is the papa? Got it? There is no punyam, there is no papa. Why? Because there is no enjoyership. There is no notion that I am the enjoyer. There is no notion I am the doer. I tell you, all these, that's why I told you many times, the all wrong notions, you all wrong self-image you have about yourself, not that you want to have the wrong notions about yourself, helplessly entertained notions about yourself. Helplessly. Nobody really, there's no intention of wanting to have wrong notions about the self. Helplessly, no? Entertained wrong notions about the self, which are there as a result of erroneous perception of the self, which is because of self-ignorance. So self-ignorance caused erroneous self-perception, which resulted in the entertainment of erroneous notions about the self. It is these wrong notions which are real bondage. Understand? The notions were the cause for your bondage. The notions corrected means bondage also goes. All punyam. I have punyam, I have papa, I have to exhaust punya papa, I have to suffering. All those punya papas, all of them resolve for good. And the wrong notions become resolved in the wake of the knowledge. But Krishna says, what else is required? When the problem is caused by ignorance, you need knowledge is the only solution. Be intelligent. Understand the problem and understand the appropriate solution. Isn't it? So when ignorance is the root cause of the problem, samsara, you go and search for, you should search only for jnanam. It is atma jnanam, it is ignorance of the self is the problem here. So solution must be found as only knowledge of the self, isn't it? Leaving it, you say, let me go and do that, let me go and do that, let me do pranayama, let me do that, let me do this, let me do... No, people go and learn some disciplines, get stuck with the disciplines. That is why, because they think practicing the spiritual, the religious disciplines themselves, they mistake them for the ends. So please understand, all of them are important, all of them are very good, only if they are understood as disciplines to be practiced for preparing the mind for knowledge. But what you actually, your focus must be on knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. It is the knowledge which alone will free me from notion caused bondage. There is no real bondage. There is no real sukham or real dukkham. Understand now? There is no dukkham for atma. There is no punyam or papam for atma. There is no unhappiness for atma. How can... There is no limitations. There is no limitation for atma. How can limitlessness be limited? How can infinite become the finite? How can happiness become unhappy? How can fullness become inadequate? How can Brahman become small? Understand? Why? Because... It's all in notion, wrong notions caused by error in the perception due to ignorance. Therefore, ignorance alone has to be removed, for which you need only jnanam. Understand the problem find the appropriate solution. Puriyada. So he says, if Arjuna, don't worry about, my God, what all, how big Sanchittam I have, don't worry about it. We don't even know how big Sanchittam is, isn't it? It is like non-diagnosed tumor. We don't even know where is, how is it. So, how big is my Sanchittam bundle? I don't know. How much I have? I don't worry about Sanchittam. Don't worry about what all you have committed here. What is going to be Sagami? See, don't worry about past. What has been accumulated before? What is going to be? What is going to come in future? This is what you have to understand. Okay? Don't worry about what has been accumulated before. What is going to come in future? At present, if you correct your the error, no, your perception, the knowing what you are, this minute, if the notion, the wrong notion you have about yourself is corrected, means your image, self-image, okay, wrong self-image, is it? You're corrected, means you're free. You're already free. Therefore, all your sins will become resolved for good. Sarvam jnanaplavena eva vijinam sarvam vrijinam santarishyasi. However worst sinner you are. Api ched asi. Even if you are the worst of the sinners, the most sinful of all the sinners, still Arjuna, you will overcome all your sins for good. With the raft of knowledge. All punyapapams will go. How knowledge destroys your sins? The question comes. The answer is given here. How does knowledge destroy all my punyapapams? Yathai dhamsi samidhognihi. Bhasmasat kuru tejuna.
Bhasmasat kuru tejuna.
Jnanagni sarva karmani.
Jnanagni sarva karmani.
Bhasmasat kuru te tatha.
Bhasmasat kuru te tatha.
Yathai dhamsi samidhognihi.
Yathai dhamsi samidhognihi.
Bhasmasat kuru te arjuna.
Bhasmasat kuru te arjuna.
Jnanagni sarva karmani.
Jnanagni sarva
Bhasmasat kuru te tatha.
Bhasmasat kuru te tatha.
See, samiddha agnihi, the well-kindled fire. Well-kindled fire. Yatha yedhamsi basmasat kurute. The well-kindled fire. Basmasat kurute. Burns or reduces all the fuel into ashes. Basmasat kurute means basmi karoti. It reduces all the fuel into ashes. Yedhamsi means fuel. Viru kattaihal, eriporul. Yedhamsi. Yatha, just as. Yedhamsi, the fuel. Samiddaha agnihi, the well-kindled fire. Well-kindled fire. Not the smoky fire, okay? Well-kindled fire. reduces all the fuel into ashes, burns them into ashes, which means once they are put into the fire, do you think they will be left behind? No, the fuel will be reduced to ashes. Sambalaidu. Which means the fuel again, there's no way of fuel being there. They'll get burned, they'll be destroyed for good. In the same way, here he says, this jnana agnihi, the fire of knowledge also. Sarva karmani basmasat kurute. The fire of knowledge also reduces all our karma into ashes. It means what? Destroys the karma for good. Nirbija means what now? No, there will not be anything left behind for it to sprout. Completely it will be destroyed for good. Sarva karmani means, what do you mean? My previous punya papas, timeless time which have been accumulated as sanchitam karma, all your sanchitam punya papas will be destroyed for good. All your agami karmas also will be destroyed for good. The paradha karma will be exhausted during the span of life itself. Everything will be destroyed for good. There won't be any karma left behind. They'll be all be destroyed. Yesterday itself I explained to you, isn't it? There's no real punyam, real papam, real karma for the atma. Atma never performed any action. Atma with consciousness never involved in any activity. Atma is never involved in any enjoyment also. Atma does not have desire, Atma does not have need, Atma does not, consciousness does not perform any action. So consciousness does not, go through punyam and pap, does not do karma, the consciousness does not attract any punyam or papam, consciousness does not have paths of opposite such as pains and pleasures also. Consciousness is free. But no action on the part of matter is possible, no movement on the part of matter is possible without the blessing of consciousness. Isn't it? Therefore, there's no action possible without the presence of blessing of consciousness. No experience possible without the blessing of consciousness. No enjoyment possible without the blessing of consciousness. In fact, very existence of experience, enjoyment, very existence of pain, pleasure, all pairs of opposites, all the actions, movements, everything is possible only because of the blessing or the mere presence of consciousness. But consciousness is untouched by anything and everything. And that consciousness is the truth of I. Consciousness is the truth of the whole, everything here. Consciousness is free, isn't it? Therefore, here once you know, I am consciousness. I am, you know now. I am body is wrong knowledge. I am mind, I am sense organ, you don't say it. But that is how your behavior is. But I am consciousness means right now vision, isn't it? That's not to be expressed. That is for you to be understood. You can't go and tell, I am consciousness. Say, okay. Okay. Consciousness does not speak. We understand. It's not for us to go and tell everybody, I am consciousness. It is for us to understand. There is no I or am outside of consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, really speaking, there is no punyam or papam. This knowledge is what? It is this very knowledge. The fire really reduces the fuel into ashes. But knowledge does not really burn or anything, isn't it? is as good as. Just as how the fire, well kindled fire, can reduce all the, any amount of fuel into ashes, so also this knowledge of the Swarupam being consciousness, isn't it? This knowledge, in the light of the knowledge of self being consciousness, my God, all the punya papas, all the wrong notions, everything disappears. It's like what? In the wake of the knowledge of the rope, without being chased away, the snake disappears. Oh, I have discovered this rope. Now let me push to send this snake outside. Do you have to chase the snake outside? There is no snake. There is no need for you to chase away the snake. All this time, the whole lot, all the time, what you do? You work very hard to kill the snake, to undo the snake, because snake causes fear. There's a real snake means you can't undo it. Understand now, there's no real snake. But you mistake the snake, rope for snake, and you get frightened of the snake and you want to undo the snake. And all your efforts are for undoing the snake. But here, in the wake of the knowledge of the rope, the snake resolves. Along with the snake, fear resolves. In the same way, in the wake of the knowledge of the self being consciousness, the wrong notions resolve like the snake resolves in the rope. The fear caused by the snake resolves along with the fear. So all your problems, punya papas, also resolve like the fear. Your punya papas resolves along with the wrong notions. Like the fear resolves along with the snake in the wake of the knowledge. Is it clear? That's why bhasmasat, this is how knowledge destroys your punya papams. How knowledge of the rope, in the wake of knowledge of the rope, how the snake becomes as though destroyed. Understand? And all the fear caused by the snake also is as though destroyed. Similarly, in the wake of knowledge of the self being, Paramatma, the consciousness, all the wrong notions become resolved, and also the problems caused by wrong notions into punya papas, doership, pinjarship, all the punya papas, all of them resolve. Is it clear? Really speaking, here it is yatha yedhamsi yes yatha samiddha agnihi yedhamsi bhasmasat kurute tatha jnana agnihi sarvakarmani bhasmasat kurute.
Nahi jnanena sadrusham pavitramiha vidyate
pavitramiha vidyate
tatsvayam yogasam siddhah
tatsvayam yogasam siddhah
kalenaatmani vindati
kalenaatmani vindati.
Therefore, is there anything that can purify? Is there a better purifier than knowledge? Fire is the purifier, isn't it? Like that here, there's no better purifier than, more efficient purifier, more effective purifier than the knowledge. Knowledge is the most exalted, the greatest, highest purifying factor.
Jnanena sadrusham pavitram iha nahi vidyate.
Pavanam. Pavitra means pavanam. Pavanam means that which purifies. Shuddhikaram. Kamaha, krodaha, lobaha, mohaha, madaha, matsaryam. All of them are impurities. Impurities are those which cause, which disturb your stillness, disturb your, affect your easiness, cause discomfort, pain, isn't it? So all those are impurities. And all of them will resolve for good in jnanam. They will disappear. You will see, you cannot say Atmani consciousness does not have jealousy. Okay? You can't say water has wave. Wave is water. Similarly, jealousy is conscious. Everything is Atma, Brahma means. What is jealousy? Jealousy is consciousness. Anger is consciousness. Hatred is consciousness. There's nothing which exists outside of consciousness. Is it clear? Which means Atma has no, Atma has, you can't say. Everything is Atma. Is it clear now? It's something different. This you have to understand here. Now everything is Atma. Atma has means it is impure, isn't it? Atma cannot be polluted. Atma need not be purified. Why? Non-refinable, non-pollutable Atma need not be, cannot be purified. Ever pure Atma. Is it clear now? Atma is ever free. Ever pure. Because Atma has no anger, Atma has no desire, Atma the consciousness has no greed, no jealousy, no hatred, no envy. Atma is ever pure. There cannot be jealousy, hatred, anger, all of them without the Atma. But Atma is free from all of them. Is it clear now? Atma is free. Atma is ever pure. Untainted. Untouched. By everything. Therefore, it is the knowledge of the self being consciousness. You know, you can reclaim your purity, which is already there. Okay, now that's why he says here, Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. And in the wake of the knowledge, not only that, in the wake of the knowledge, all of them will resolve. That is why the knowledge is said to be the enemy of the six. I think I told you once long ago in our class. These six, no, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsriya. All of them, the knowledge of the self, knowledge of the reality is said to be the enemy of these six. What is Sanskrit word I said? Shadari. Shannam arihi shadari. Knowledge is the enemy of the six. Why enemy? Why knowledge is said to be the enemy of the six? If knowledge arises, knowledge will drive all these six away. Knowledge happens to be the chaser of all these six away. Knowledge will chase away all these six. Irukka idam kudukkadu. Therefore, knowledge is the enemy of the six, not the friend. Arin Pahivan. That is why when in Vaishnava Sampradaya, when you go to the temples, they put shadari on you. Shadari means what? The cap like thing they keep on your head, the 2 feet of the Lord. Isn't it? That represents what the feet of the Lord represents, knowledge of the Lord, Swarupam of the Lord being your Swarupam. When you go there, you bow to, they put it, isn't it? Which means your head touching the feet of the Lord symbolizes, you can't go in and touch, okay? So they bring the feet of the Lord outside. So they put it on your head. Which means your head touching the feet of the Lord symbolizes your resolving your identity in Paramatma, the whole. The truth of the Ishvara. Is it clear now? Unnai Iraivanil Karaithal. I don't want to say karaithal. There's no such action or anything. Ni kaanamal pohudal. Ni kaanamal pohudal. This is what I'm saying. You resolving your identity with Paramatma, you are recognizing your non-difference, your recognition of yourself being non-different from Paramatma is implied by what now? Your head being put the feet of the Bhagavan. Bhagavan's feet touching your head means your ahankara is resolved in the truth of the whole Ishvara. It's like wave resolving its identity in with the ocean, the totality in the water. In that jnanam, all the 6 will resolve. Therefore, it's called what? Shadari. Knowledge and the 6 cannot coexist. If knowledge is not there, all the 6 will be there happily together, forming a gang. Gangster. Okay? They'll all form a gang and they'll sit comfortably and cause all sorts of problems. Gangster problems. The mind. And when knowledge enters into the mind, immediately will chase all the 6 of them together away. Because knowledge and the 6 cannot coexist. That is why knowledge is said to be the enemy of the 6. Shannam arihi. Shadari. Is it clear? Enemy of the 6. Therefore, all the 6 will resolve for good. Is anything which can purify Atma? No. Is anything which can purify you, your mind, other than knowledge? Manasukkan Masu Ilan Adal. What is that which can really make my mind completely, absolutely pure mind? It is the knowledge. It is the vision of the truth of the whole as one's own self alone will resolve, make the mind absolutely pure. There's nothing which is as purifying as the knowledge. Is it clear? Where he says, Jnanena Sadrusham. There's nothing similar, nothing as purifying as the knowledge. Where's the question of being something superior to? No, there's no greater purifying factor. There's no similar factor. Okay? Now there's nothing which is similar to knowledge. Nothing which is as purifying as the knowledge. Tat swayam yoga samsitat jnanam atmani vindati. one attains that knowledge of the Swarupam of Ishvara, truth of the whole, in one's own mind. Not anywhere, in one's own mind, as one's own self. Who attains that knowledge? How? In due course of time. Kalena, in due course of time. One attains that knowledge of the truth in one's own mind as one's own self. Who attains? Yoga Samsiddha. The one who is adequately, appropriately prepared and ready for that knowledge by living a life of Karma Yoga. Yoga Samsiddha means through the life of Karma Yoga, by living a disciplined life. Yogena Samsiddha. By living a life of Karma Yoga, through living a disciplined life, the one who has become mentally, adequately pure and steady, one has become prepared for knowledge, such a person, kalena, in due course of time, through proper, going through proper steps of pursuit of knowledge, ultimately attains the knowledge of the truth as one's own self in one's own mind. Where will you attain knowledge? Not anywhere else. The knowledge of the truth will rise in your own mind. How knowledge of the world rises in your mind, knowledge of the truth also will rise in your own mind. That knowledge also, the truth also will be as your own self. Isn't it? The knowledge of the truth of the whole, knowledge of Ishvara Swarupam will rise in your mind, in one's own mind as one's own Swarupam. One will attain that knowledge. Is it clear? So, Atmani Vindate. Kim Tat Jnanam. Attains that knowledge in one's own mind as one's own self. How? Kalena, in due course of time, when he goes through all this Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam properly, being prepared for knowledge through a disciplined life of Karma Yoga.
Nahi jnanena sadrusham. Pavitramiha vidyate. Tatsvayam yoga samsiddhaha. Kalenatmani vindati.
Kalenatmani vindati.
Okay. 4 verses will complete next time.
ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ।